Hello, and welcome to the Reorient Podcast, the show about international issues and international people with an Asian twist. My name is Jesse Friedlander. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Reorient Podcast. Today is the 5th of February, 2022, and the Year of the Tiger, which just started. And my name is Jesse Friedlander. I'm your host. And today I'm very pleased to be joined with two very special guests, Dan and Joe. So Dan and Joe, welcome.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Jesse. Thanks for the warm invitation and lovely to be here.
It's an interesting time to do this show because everything's very quiet in Hong Kong because it's a Saturday, but the previous 3 days have been a long holiday for the Chinese New Year. So it's almost a bit of a reflective time. I think a little less celebrating going on these days. So very happy to reflect with the two of you. So could we start just with a little bit about your backgrounds and then what exactly the work that you're doing today is?
Sure.
Background. I'll start with for the past 20 years, we've been working on in an industry called user experience design. And we consulted to companies to make their products more user-friendly. That's the main goal. And our area is focused on user research, which is an area to understand customers so the product teams can design their products better suited for the customer needs. That's our background.
So that is our background. That's more on the, I guess, on the business side of it. Mm-hmm. But I would say on the personal side of it, for both, if I may speak for both Joe and myself, I think we've always in varying degrees been interested in people and interested in context. So people and context have, I feel, been omnipresent in everything that we've done. I think for myself, in terms of a driver of our work related to people and context, I think for me, it's been about the creative side of that with my theatre background. And I would say for Joe, at the core of it, there's also a creative side to it, but I think for Joe, an important driver has been the health aspect of it. So, but whether it's health or creative, I think the combining force has always been around the well-being of people. Mm-hmm. And environment, I think, has been omnipresent. Mm-hmm. In a lot of our pursuits.
Mm. So we're talking two decades of user experience, theater, environment, people, health. These are some of the themes that's been behind you in terms of the work that you're doing. Maybe just a little bit on the personal side, just so people could have a little idea of your personal backgrounds, you know, very quickly, sort of where you grew up and what brought you to Hong Kong.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I'll kick this one off, then I'll hand to Joe. We're sort of doing it in turns, taking turns to be respectful. But I grew up in Melbourne, Australia, and felt very fortunate to have grown up there. I grew up having been exposed to very good schools, and I went to a youth group, a Jewish youth group, and got involved in theatre as well, and had just, I think, a pretty fun and regular type of upbringing there. And being Australian, I think, with a healthy interest in sport and particularly Australian rules football. To the outsider who might never have watched it before, a kind of a hybrid of rugby, soccer and everything, Gaelic football and everything in between.
And so, mixed martial arts.
Yeah. So, and then moved to Hong Kong about 22 years ago. Mm. Mm,
thank you. Yeah. Joe?
I was born in a city called Dalian in China. we moved to Hong Kong in the late 70s. My parents, my dad was Chinese Burmese, and my mom is Indonesian Chinese. Growing up in Hong Kong, exposed to all these different cultures, I always feel like I see things from many perspectives and exposed to all these different food, because my dad's side is from Fujian, so my mom's side is from Hakka. So all these mix of different things is very interesting and opening up your eyes for me. I went to study in Australia. That's where I met Dan. And for the past 20-something years, we've been in business together. I'm very much into health, as you know. Because of my health journey, I think, it also opening up my eyes to see a lot more things around me as well.
Well, you both have very interesting, diverse backgrounds, multicultural, and I think that point about seeing things from different perspectives is important and something that happens often to people if they've traveled or been perhaps an ethnic minority in a country or had some very challenging experiences in their lives, et cetera. And maybe you've had all three of these. So it's very interesting then you're combining as a group, as a couple, to really address issues, human issues. So if it makes sense, I think we'll dive into sort of the work that you're doing now. You've published, this book, and I think you're talking to people. So why don't we sort of talk about sort of the here and now in terms of what your pursuits are and the sort of issues you're tackling and the types of clients that you're helping?
Yeah, as I mentioned that, I starting to pay more attention with my health issues probably close to 20 years ago now. And because I'm passionate about it, so I'll tell people, maybe you should look into this and maybe you can try this. I find people that many of friends around me, they know what kind of issues they have, but it's almost like they're not willing to dig deeper and find the cause, and also very reluctant to take actions on it. It's almost like I'm not seeing it, so there's no problem there. And for the past 10 years, the Make Meaningful Work book we've been working on and the project we're working on, the observations from the organization, the pattern is very similar.
That's my thing. Good. Yeah. Jesse and Joe, I think related to what Joe was describing there, if I were to characterize that as a narrative, that word narrative has become very important as part of the Make Meaningful Work Sparkle. We call it the Sparkle Studio experience. And Joe clearly, has a strong narrative, but interestingly, a lot of people don't. They actually don't have clarity around why they do what they do and how that represents three things, but not only these things. Like number one, the values, what they value and what their values are. Number two, what motivates them, and number three, what is their, in effect, their moral philosophy or their intention. And what ends up happening is you end up sort of sleepwalking your way through work and life, and that's why the Make Meaningful Work as a question, as an ongoing and difficult question to answer, will be there for a long time for us. We've attempted to begin to answer that question, but there's a lot more work to put into it. But it also forms part of that overarching narrative, which is the sleepwalking to sparkle piece. So I think a lot of what we now intentionally create or make as part of a studio or a sparkle studio experience is to help people get to understand what their narrative is and get to understand the stories and the practices, which are often we call implicit or hidden from view and from view, pardon me, and make those more explicit so that there is more clarity around the softer skills or the practices that drive that narrative. Not everybody has 10 years to go and research something, and then not everybody has time, understandably, to put that together in a series of articles or a book. So what we ultimately want to do in conclusion is take all of our hard work, and it's been a lot of hard work and speaking to a lot of people to inform our narrative of Make Meaningful Work from Sleepwalking to Sparkle, and to provide a platform for other people to understand their narrative, but more specifically to what we call develop 21st century transferable skills in the workplace, because it is a practical workbook, but also something that can be used in people's personal life as well.
Okay, understood. I'm thinking about for our audience and listeners and how we can just sort of give them a little bit of nuts and bolts so they can relate to, you know, where you're coming from. And then maybe we could go to the sort of the broader philosophical underpinning. So is it fair to say you're working with individuals and or companies to create a more meaningful in work environment, and which by extension will be one that's more effective, more productive, et cetera. So it's sort of a good for everyone. So it's, in a sense, it's related to organizational management, behavioral philosophies, sort of life skills, life coaching, that sort of this whole world of sort of the where people, how people interact in the workplace. Is that a fair characterization?
It is a fair characterization. I would say that's all in our constellation. Mm-hmm. But if I were to synthesize it, I think it comes back to we actually call it the MMW or Make Meaningful Work philosophy. Mm-hmm. Really comes down to three key areas, which is character, leadership, and culture. Mm-hmm. And then what's at the core of it is the Sparkle Studio experience. So people come into that studio, work.
This
on
is a physical studio that you and Joe are operating.
It's not something we've actually built, but that studio can be anywhere we want that to be.
It's a sort of a contained, controlled environment,
exactly.
And therefore exactly. You can inject new exactly. Behaviors and ideas into this environment.
Yeah.
Usually, we focus. So, if you talk about professional development or trainings in companies, usually we'll focus on the hard skills, right? I think our muscle of that side of things is very strong. But the other side of all these hard skills, you need a soft skill side of things to make it good and strong and effective. So the Sparkle Studio is more to train the other side of the muscle out.
Mm-hmm. And is your target senior executives or mid-level or other types of employees?
Those two and everything and everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah,
okay.
And including kids.
Yeah, kids as well. I mean, at the end of the day, the softer side, the muscle that Joe's describing is now, it sounds somewhat self-serving to say this on this interview, but nonetheless, it's true. I think it's becoming very important now, primarily because, and unfortunately, because the pandemic has triggered it. So the pandemic has effectively triggered people thinking in the business corporate side, people are now thinking very carefully and very selectively about who they want to work with and why across character, leadership, and culture, which is the MMW philosophy side. So if we stress the cultural side of it, this is no longer it's really no longer a nice to have. The great resignation is a result of toxic cultures. So that means that it's not enough to have like a chief culture officer. It's not enough to offer training anymore. It's not enough to do these lovely corporate retreats. There has to be a real commitment from the leadership at all levels to effectively be compassionate about the people that work for them and to ensure that they have that strong narrative. The narrative can be described in other ways. I've heard it being described as learning pathways or learning programs, but fundamentally it's all about development and improvement. And as to the actors that play in that, sure, some of the actors and elements that you describe play into that. But ultimately, what we're interested in is facilitating that experience in the studio. And I'll conclude by saying, Jesse, fundamentally as a reflective space, because it's that reflective space that's drastically missing for people today. And I would dare say in the pandemic, it's enforced reflection for people, and people don't like it because they've been so busy being busy. The minute they're being forced to reflect, it's very uncomfortable in a non-facilitated fashion because suddenly you have to face yourself.
Yes, I would say from my experience and many of my friends, the pandemic has really forced people to slow down because many of us were busy being busy and really reassess, you know, what are we doing in our lives? How are we spending our time? Okay, I have time now. What should I do? And it's been, in a way, very challenging but very helpful, I think, to reprioritize and restructure our lives and the workplace. So I completely agree. This has been a time to reevaluate and to make perhaps big changes in one's life. Let's just, on the workplace, are there any particular companies that you are modeling that you view as having high standards in the way of making work meaningful that you feel are valuable?
I'll go first here and then perhaps pass to Jo if she's got some things to add. It's such a great question, and it sounds so cliche to say that, doesn't it, when you're on an interview, but it really is a great question because it's a challenging question. It's a hard question. And it may sound like a cop-out, but the short answer is not many. And why I say that is, yes, you could go to the usual suspects. You know, you go to your business publications and they talk about all the fancy stories and the case studies of your companies that would be, you know, the usual standouts, like your Googles of the world or your Microsofts or those sorts of companies. And there's probably some local ones as well in our region. But I feel at the end of the day, or I read one recently on talking about Intuit as another company. But at the end of the day, they're all nice outside case studies and stories. The question becomes, is that the reality inside the question? Because cultures are made up of subcultures that are made up of subcultures. It's very dependent contextually on where you land in the company. There's a holistic narrative to what they want the culture to be, and then there's what is the actual culture. So I think the short answer from my perspective is I don't necessarily feel in all of our work and our study that there's one standout, but I think that's encouraging because it leaves a lot of gap and upside as to really what a great 21st century company could be. And I honestly don't think anyone has the answer on that yet because the tectonic plates of work are shifting drastically because of the pandemic, especially in reference to things like hybrid work. So I think what Joe and myself look at is we look more at the elements or the behavioral characteristics of culture that feel more healthy and then start to work practically on programs that lend itself to that direction would be my take.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this portion of the podcast. To access the entire podcast and more high-quality analysis on Asia, please visit our website, reorientpodcast.com. That's one word, all lower caps, reorientpodcast.com.